We are thinking about creation tonight, the maker of heaven and earth. In a very real sense, we're thinking about that this morning also. You know that at the beginning of the service, you recognized that passage I read in John chapter 1, and it has to do with creation and many other things about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word. So we are turning to the gospel that comes right before John, to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to verse 26. And the first reference here is to John the Baptist and his mother, Elizabeth, a very elderly lady, had conceived to have the forerunner of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist. And verse 26 says, and in the sixth month, that is the sixth month since she had miraculously conceived as an elderly mother of this great servant of God, John the Baptist. So we begin reading at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, and of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Then the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. The Free Presbyterian Church considers the doctrine of the Holy Spirit so important in these times that an additional chapter, having exclusively been set apart to the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, has been appended to the Westminster Confession of Faith. There are so many problems today regarding the Holy Spirit within the professing church. And I will just point out two of these problems in the professing church in regard to the Holy Spirit at this time. In some assemblies, the Holy Spirit is basically ignored. There are no prayers nor cries to Him to come and presence himself to draw near. And the result of not desiring the Spirit, not calling upon Him to come, not even singing with a passionate desire, "Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with all thy quickening powers. Come, shed abroad the Savior's love, and that will kindle ours." The result is self-centered spiritual coldness in so many assemblies. As Dr. Paisley used to say, if you brought in a bucket of cream into such a gathering, it would soon be ice cream. The opposite tendency is the overemphasis on the Holy Spirit, especially on His gifts, in particular the gift of tongues. Such gatherings are often no more than fleshly hullabaloos of emotion, shouting, screaming, knocking people over, and making a mockery of genuine revival and spiritual awakening. My nephew was here with us recently, and it was into such a meeting where he came to know Christ down on the beach in Destin, Florida, that I preached many, many, many years ago. Oh, wow, it must have been 40 years ago, practically. And, of course, they were pretty wild. And knew there were people there wanting to get going. And so I didn't have any hearing aids at that time. So the preacher, when they would get started, I just turned up the volume super loud. And after a while, they realized I'm not going to be able to drown out the preacher. So they sat down and shut it up. So in many of those places, there's a mockery. But when there is genuine spiritual revival and the work of the Holy Spirit, people fall on their faces before Almighty God in subduing grace. There may be some crying out. And genuine revival, there's real brokenness. And people weeping and coming, seeking God's mercy and salvation. The Holy Spirit is called the seven spirits of God. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4. And you know very well that the number seven is used so much in the book of Revelation. It has especially to do with the matter of perfection, completion, fulfillment. He is the perfect Spirit of God. But I think there's more there. Because if you carefully consider, and I'm so sorry that I've never seen any of the commentators really take this in hand, but if you just take the work of the Holy Spirit, it falls logically into seven great works of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at some of this today. But I want you to think about the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're not having a seven-point message, not by any means. But the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit is so obvious. First of all, in creation, He is the creator. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, obviously. Secondly, His ministry of inspiration. He is the one who breathed the Holy Scriptures, all of the Old and New Testament. He is the Spirit of inspiration. Third, He is the very incarnator. He is the one who brought about the incarnation. We've read about it here. The one who overshadowed Mary and caused the conception of the human nature of our Lord Jesus Christ from her substance. And then in the fourth place, I want to put several things together right here under this, because it has immediately to do with the application of redemption as regards justification and those things that take place immediately at that point. All of these happen so wonderfully and so miraculously as the Spirit of God makes the application of redemption. First of all, there is that work of illumination that suddenly happens in the mind, and we see how hopeless we are. And thank God for the effectual call, vocation that takes place then. And there's that effectual work of grace bringing us to Christ. And the effectual call, vocation happening along with that. And then right there is that work of regeneration, giving us life and faith and repentance. All of that happening in regeneration and adoption. With justification and adoption. All happening just like that. The application of redemption happening so marvelously. Has that happened to you? So that's the fourth work of the Holy Spirit. The great application of redemption in the immediate. And things that happen simultaneously with justification. And then the fifth ministry, of course, is sanctification. We thank God for that ongoing ministry of the Spirit. It's so many things that He does in our sanctification. And then, what a life-transforming truth, His ministry of intercession. He's praying for us from here. Echoing exactly the prayers of Christ on the throne. And then His ministry of glorification. That's the number seven. He glorifies Christ. He takes of Christ. Jesus said, He shall glorify me. He shall take of mine and show it unto you. And bring to remembrance the things that I've said unto you. But He also is the glorifier of the saints. Let's look at the scriptures. In Romans chapter 8, it's so wonderful. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. Yep. Okay. Romans 8, 11. Here it is. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead. When He raised up Christ from the dead, what happened? He was glorifying Christ. Ha ha, He came forth gloriously, the Spirit of God, involved in His resurrection, just like He and the Father were. The Father raised His Son. And Jesus said, I have power to take it up again. But the Spirit was involved also. The Spirit, here we read in verse 11, that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. When will our mortal bodies need to be quickened? At the resurrection, we're going to need a great quickening, and He's going to do that. Okay, and then 2 Corinthians 3:8. 2 Corinthians 3:8, here it is. You have the proof text here. Okay, now, 18. I can't read my own right. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Of course, that has to do with sanctification. But ultimately, we are going to be transformed from the glory of the flesh to the glorious image of Christ by the working of the Spirit, quickening our mortal bodies. So, that's the seventh one of those. I believe when you read the seven spirits, you need to think He is the perfect Holy Spirit of God. But He's also very active. Very, very, very active. Thank God He's still working on us right now. The Holy Spirit is God. co-eternal with the Father and the Son. He's called in Hebrews 9:14 the Eternal Spirit. So I like to say He is co-eternal, co-essential, and co-equal. How do we know that? Acts chapter 5 tells us that in verses 3 and 4 so clearly. He is not only co-eternal with the Father and the Son, He is co-essential of the same substance. He is co-equal with them. He is God. Acts chapter 5 and verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Okay, who did Ananias lie to? The Holy Ghost. Read verse 4. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not that in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou wast not lied unto men, but unto God. God, the Holy Spirit, He is co-eternal, co-essential, of the same substance, is what that means, and co-equal with the Father and with the Son. This morning, let us consider only one of the seven great ministries of the Holy Spirit. Number three, that is incarnation. And what is that? The formation and conception of the body of Christ in the womb of the Virgin Mary was the particular work of the Holy Spirit. As we considered at the communion service last Lord's Day evening, Christ's body was prepared by the Father. That body was assumed or taken into union with Himself by the eternal Son of God. But the efficient working of this body coming into being was by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 1:18. When His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Ghost, we read. Luke 1:35, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. This overshadowing act of the Holy Spirit was the creation of the human body of the Lord Jesus Christ from Mary's human substance. Like the creative work of God in Genesis 1 and 2, when He used material that He had previously already created out of nothing. God used the previously created body of Mary to provide the substance for the Holy Spirit to use in the formation of Christ's human body. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. When there was nothing but God's pure spirit in existence, God created the heaven and the earth. The Hebrew word bara, ex nihilo, out of nothing. The God used the matter after He had created it. He used the matter that composed the earth to create so many things. He created vegetation. In Genesis 1:11, He said, let the earth bring forth grass, herbs, fruit trees, etc. God used the dust of the ground to form Adam. Genesis 2:7. That's not very flattering, is it? That we're made out of dirt and we return to dirt. So many fake scientists, so many who don't believe in God. I was so delighted, as I told you before, I think, sitting with my classmates, about 8 or 10 of them. We have lunch together once a month. And one of them said, you know, when I was working at NASA, all of those scientists that really knew, understood, is they were able to look out into the vast reaches of space. He said, there were no atheists among them. And it is so amazing, isn't it, when you think of the fact of our composition. You go out in your backyard and you dig up a spade full of dirt. So interesting that in the same proportion, those elements in that spade full of dirt, same elements in the same proportion in us, especially if you had a good rain. Because there'd be a lot of water there. But anyway, it's so amazing. We're just dirt. But Adam was made of the dust of the ground. Even so, the Holy Spirit used the material substance of Mary's body to form the human body of the second or last Adam. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was made of a woman. Galatians 4:4. He was made of the seed of Abraham and the seed of David according to the flesh. Galatians 3 and Romans 1. The Savior Christ was to proceed from the loins of Abraham and David after the flesh so that Christ could suffer in the same human nature that sinned. Of course, Christ's human nature was unfallen and undepraved. But do you realize that was the same nature that Adam had before he sinned? Unfallen and undepraved. Christ came in that same nature that Adam had before he sinned. Christ was made like us so that he could perfectly impute his righteousness to us. This special creative act of the Holy Spirit incarnating Christ was an instantaneous act, also infusing into that body a perfect and rational soul. The scriptures attribute assigning the conceiving of Christ to both the Holy Spirit and to the Virgin Mary. And do you realize that the Apostles' Creed does likewise? Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Matthew 1:18, she was found to be with child of the Holy Ghost, attributing to the Holy Spirit. Luke 1:35, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, obviously showing the work of the Holy Spirit, bringing forth our Savior. And then attributing it to Mary. Isaiah 7:14, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Luke 1:31, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. The Holy Spirit was the active, efficient agent in the incarnation, while Mary was the passive, submissive receiver of the Savior. Luke 1:38, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. That's amazing. She had not had her marriage finished or consummated. You may think that's strange. We had such a wonderful time with an African-American family, literally African-American family. I'm thinking about the children, Caleb and the Bensel family from Ghana. We ate with them in Baltimore back when we were last year up in Maryland, and we found out that they got half married before they left Ghana. That meant that her family had come over to, her husband's family, Mr. Bensel, came over. His family came over and brought an article of some value and gave to the lady's family. Here you go. Y'all keep this. You're keeping her for my son. So both of them immigrated to Maryland to go to college. And she lived in one place, he lived in another place. But they went to the same church and they didn't have money to finish the marriage. And so the church family found out that they were only half married. Of course, they weren't living together, but they were half married according to their custom in Ghana. And so they said, look, the church is decorated as much of December. Church is decorated. The women in the church have fit the food together, so let's just go ahead and finish this. So they got the other half married. And so Mary was just half married at this point. So it would be a very shameful thing. But God providentially worked for Mary's and Christ's protection from false gossip. There's such a thing as good gossip. I don't know if you knew that. But when the church was scattered, they went everywhere gossiping the gospel. That's good gossip. Okay. So the bad gospel, she was already espoused to Joseph. Thus her spotless innocence was somewhat protected. God had already provided one to take care of her and the young Savior Messiah. And our blessed Savior was free from the imputation of an illegitimate birth. But he further showed by his miracles, they testified him to be the Son of God and thus miraculously conceived. Thus Christ's Jewish genealogy was fully recorded and truly manifested. Matthew's genealogy was through Joseph, the Savior's foster father. And Luke's genealogy was through the Savior's mother, Mary. So it was exactly as both Nathanael and Peter testified. Nathanael in John 1:49 said, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." Amen. And then Peter said it in Matthew 16:16, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." So that is the substance of the message. We began this morning thinking about the Holy Spirit. This has led us to Christ. This is exactly the Holy Spirit's seventh ministry, glorifying, glorification. He glorifies Christ by pointing us to the Savior, by reminding us of Christ's words, by bringing them to our remembrance, whatsoever the Savior said. So let's go back to the Holy Spirit's first work. Creation. Genesis 1:2, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. It's very interesting that ESV sometimes gets one right every now and then. They got this one right because the word here, moved, is given a past tense. It's actually a participle, which is the ing form, a Hebrew participle. The Spirit of God was moving on the face of the waters. He wasn't still. He was moving on the face of the waters. The literal meaning, the third person of the glorious eternal Trinity was waving, as it were, fluttering, brooding, as a mother bird broods over her nest. We are not told in Genesis 1 that the Spirit of God ceased his position, moving upon the face of the waters. But we're told down below in verse 20, we hear the sovereign voice of the Creator commanding, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly moving creatures." The mother bird brooding over her nest until life burst forth. The Holy Spirit of God was moving upon the waters, and moving creatures came forth abundantly and miraculously. From the waters suddenly came multitudes of marine animals and the fowls of the air, simply by the word spoken, "Let the waters bring forth," and the Spirit of God moving on the face of the water. When the Spirit of God overshadowed Mary miraculously, the Savior, Christ, humanity, came into being and began to grow and prosper. Five times this Greek word for overshadow is used in the New Testament. Every time it is used, a powerful miracle of glory comes forth. This is illustrative of the Holy Spirit's work in bringing depraved, dead sinners into spiritual life. The Almighty Spirit comes in with saving miraculous power and puts forth that omnipotence, bringing life into one that has never known or experienced life before. I'm talking about spiritual life. Has that ever happened to you? Have you been born from above, as Jesus said to Nicodemus? It's not just the word born. There's another completely separate word. You must be born from above. Born again. Born from what operates above and upon you. From the higher source. Unless you were born again, unless you were born from God's miraculous power above you, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless you are born of the Holy Spirit, you will never even see the kingdom of God to enjoy it. What an awful thought to even get a glimpse of the kingdom of God and not be able to go in. The Lord Jesus told of those that would see the Gentiles come in and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the glory. And he said, what will your condition be? You will see yourselves cast out. Could not the rich man see something to look across that great gulf and to see Lazarus in Abraham's bosom in that place of blessing? What a terrible thing to only see that way and not to see it, to enter in and to enjoy it. You must be born from above. Let us pray together. We thank Thee, O Father in heaven, that Thy word is so complete, so clear. We pray that Thou wilt bless to all our understanding Thy truth regarding the spiritual birth, the work of the Holy Spirit, applying the benefits of Christ's great redemptive work. Please answer prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not going to apologize for the song we sing in conclusion today.